So Psalms 146 tonight, and as I have been preaching through the Psalms, you'll remember that we are coming down to the close of the book of Psalms. And the last few Psalms are simply what's known as praise Psalms. And they're going to praise Jehovah. As we have gone through the book of Psalms, and you know, it's been a long time since I preached Psalm 1. But one of the things that we've tried to keep in front of us is about understanding the psalm and understanding the range of emotions that you find in the book of Psalms. And again, quoting Jason Schultz, the psalms are to be felt as much as they are to be learned. And as you read through the psalms, if you take the time to think about the psalmist and to think what the psalmist is experiencing, and maybe even put yourself in the place of the psalmist, you can sense all of these emotions. You can sense that his anger that he has, and the joy that he has, and the fear that he has, and happiness, and all of these things. You can see this range of emotions. Now we're coming to the conclusion, and the last few psalms are full of praise. And if you notice, Psalm 146 and verse number 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And so it is to lift up praise to God. The heart of one who trusts in God is going to praise Him. You know, I thought about that this morning as we were talking about in the men's Sunday school classes. We were talking about just what you can learn from the Scripture. If you take the Scripture and apply it to your life, what can you learn? And Jerry mentioned something about contentment. And I thought that is so true. One of the greatest blessings of being a child of God is learning contentment. And so if you learn to be content with God and to be satisfied in who He has made you to be and what He's doing in your life, it's going to bring praise to your heart, because you remember what you deserved and you see where you're at. And when you compare what you have to what you deserve, there's many reasons to praise the Lord. A lot of people can't praise the Lord because they think they deserve more than they have. And so they always look at their life from a negative perspective. And so it's difficult to praise if you think that you're not getting everything that you should get. But when you recognize what you deserve and then see who you are, there's many reasons to praise the Lord. And so the psalmist here is praising the Lord. If you'll remember, some time ago, we talked about what was known as the Hallel Psalm. It was the praise psalms. It was Hallel Yah. Do you remember that? Hallelujah was the word. Hallel Yah, or praise to Jehovah. And that is the content of these final few psalms. Let's read all 10 verses of this Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widows. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Now, we're not given the author of this psalm, and, And we know that it's not David because these final Psalms are not written by David. And we don't know the circumstances of this Psalm exactly. It's not given to us in the Psalm. But one thing we know, this psalmist is satisfied with God, and he can see some reasons why that he should be praising Jehovah. And all that Israel has been through, and all that they have experienced, and all we have seen in the book of Psalms, the range of emotions, the depths of despair into which the Psalms have taken us, yet at the end, the heart is full of praise. And that's where we find ourselves with this psalmist. Praise Jehovah, he says in verses number 1 and verse number 2. And who will the psalmist praise? It is interesting here. Notice, praise ye the Lord. Praise Yah. That is the Lord there. Praise Yah. They are to praise. It is the sacred name of God. Praise Yah. Then it says, praise even the Lord. Praise Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. So praise the holy God. Praise the covenant-keeping God. Praise Him for who He is. And who is the one that should praise? Or where does this praise take place? And I will praise the Lord, all my soul. In the deepest recesses of the soul, I'm going to praise. This is not superficial praise. This is not praise that is happenstance. It's not fly-by-night praise. It's not praise that is built upon how you feel today. This is the very fiber of His being praised, bringing praise to God. This is the praise of Job. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, even though the psalmist might have felt the deepest of despair, he still is going to praise Jehovah because he understands what he deserves and he understands that God is keeping his promise. When will this praise take place? Well, while I live, will I praise the Lord. And that brings to my mind, if you remember the time when the psalmist was praying, look, God, if you kill me, who's going to praise you? The reason to keep me alive is because while I'm alive, I'm going to praise you. And listen, we've been talking about it so much recently about how the world is to see the glory and the goodness of God. The world is to see the glory and the goodness of God coming from God's people. And that's the reason we should praise God, is so that the world would understand, hey, He is worthy to be followed. He is worthy to be praised. And we do that by praising Him in the deepest recesses of our souls while we're alive. How will I praise? Notice, I will sing praises unto God while I have any being. Praise God in song. Listen, singing is important. Singing is where you can praise God. Singing is where you can put your feelings into words. And I know there's certain songs that you identify with, the old hymns of Zion. I know there's songs that you identify with, and they should be in my heart. Like, there's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And I'm sure there's other songs that are on your heart, but you sing those songs and you bring praise to God, and that's what this psalmist is going to do. He's singing praises to God. But then not only does he say we're going to praise Jehovah, but he mentions in verses 3 and 4, not to praise men. So praise Jehovah, but praise not men. Put not your trust in princes. As I was studying this message, I thought about that. Why do you not want to put your trust in men? put not your trust in princes. Well, because princes aren't trustworthy, especially elected princes. They'll tell you what you want to hear so they can get you elected, and then they'll do what they want to do, right? Campaign promises are rarely kept. You can't trust a man. Man is not immutable. I know that is a double negative, but you might say man is mutable. In other words, immutable means does not change. Man changes. You can't trust men because men change, but God is immutable. He does not change. The reason you should trust him is because he is always the same, but man is not. The children of Israel were known to go down to Egypt to find strength. They were known to trust in the strength of Egypt, and they were warned about doing so. And that's where this is coming from. Don't trust men, because men are fickle and likely to change their mind at any time. Also, why should you not put your trust in men? Because there's no help in them. Man's ability is limited. There's only so much that a man can do. And you've heard them, you've watched TV, and you've seen the doctor come out and, sorry, there's nothing else we can do. Man's ability is limited, but God's ability is unlimited. There is no limit to God's power. There's no limit to what God can do. So why are you going to put your trust in man who can give you no help, who is not trustworthy? Why would you trust men? And we could veer off course here for a little bit and think about all the ways that we do put our trust in men. We put our trust in the bank account, or the stock market, or we put our trust in in our government, and there's many places where we put our trust in men. And this, don't trust men. You know, I was listening to a thing, a podcast called Ultimately yesterday, and it's a little 2 or 3 minute excerpt from one of the messages of all R.C. Sproul. And he was talking about Psalm 2. Let's just take a glance back at Psalm 2. And it's talking about when the governments of this world laugh at God, and they want to throw off his rule over them. And how does God respond? How does God respond? And I didn't have this written down. Let me see if I can find it here. Look at verse number 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cut away their cords. They're saying, we're going to fight against God, and we don't want God to rule over us, and God has no power over us. They want to cast away God's rule over them. How does God respond? Notice this. He that sitteth in the heavens. What does God do when the kings of this world challenge his authority and want to throw off his sovereignty and say that God has no control over us and there is no such thing as a God? What does God say? Oh no, men's going to rebel against me. What am I going to do? No. That's what it says. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. When men shake their fingers at God and challenge his sovereignty, God laughs. And you know what? Our thoughts should be the same. If men challenge our understanding of who God is, no, we've got to just laugh, because there's the fools. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. And so when someone says, there's no such thing as creation, the world was created, bang, and it was. We've got to just laugh at them, because they're fools. When they begin to say, there's no God, and you know, he's not in control of this world, you know what we ought to do? We ought to do like God. We ought to laugh, because we know they're being foolish. Instead of us saying, oh no, what are we going to do? We've got to try to make them think that God is acceptable or whatever. No, we ought to just laugh because we're being foolish. You see, we know who God is. He is sovereign over the universe. And so we should not praise men, but we should praise God. So, praise Jehovah, praise not men. Now back to Psalm 146. Praise Him because of happiness. Verses 5 through 7. Happy is that man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. You see, we ought to be happy because we know who God is. We know He is the God of Jacob. We know that He is the God that's going to fulfill His plan in eternity future when the book of Revelation unfolds for us. The interesting thing there for us, we are happy because of the strength of our God. But the interesting thing about the God of Jacob there, God is two Hebrew words. It is Shel on account of El. Shelel. Shelel. On account of strength. That's the God of Jacob there. God is on account of His strength, especially the Almighty. So praise God because your God is almighty. There are people in this world that don't understand who God is. They don't have the concept of the sovereignty of God. They don't have the concept that God is almighty. But you're happy because you know who God is. And you know that He is capable to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so we know when we get ourselves into use of cliche, when we get ourselves in a pickle, we know that He's able to deliver us out of that pickle. He's able to bring us out of that situation. Is anything too hard for God? Not our God, because of who He is. So praise Him because of His strength. You know who He is. He's your help. It's because of who He is that you have hope. You see, whose hope is in the Lord is God. So what kind of hope do I have if my ability to enjoy eternity is in myself? What hope do I have if my ability to overcome the difficulties of this world are in myself? What hope do I have if the doctor comes in and says, well, there is no hope? If I'm just looking at things through the natural perspective, I have no hope. But since He, my hope is in the Lord, He's in Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth, I have all hope, even in the face of uncertain odds. I can have hope. So I'm going to praise Him because I can have hope. Notice the next thing. The Lord is God. That is hope because of it is Jehovah Elohim. Elohim is the creatorial name of God. Jehovah is the covenant-keeping God. So I can have hope because the one who spoke this world into existence has made a covenant with me. This world is not hopeless. This world, even though, let's say this world would begin to implode and terrible times would become upon us and the financial market would crash and the famine would run across the world and a pandemic would arise again and everyone, the whole world's in chaos. I'm not hopeless. My Lord, God, the one who created this world, has made a covenant with me, and I'm hoping in Him. But even though this world's going to pot, I'm still going to trust in the Lord. And even though the events of the world may overcome me physically, spiritually I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I know that my time here, even though it would be difficult, it's just temporary. And it's a lot of affliction, which is but for a moment. And so my hope is in the Lord. He made all things. He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And He keepeth the truth forever. He made all things. He keeps and guards the truth. Though heaven and earth pass away, what will not pass away? His word will not pass away. And so I can trust His word, even though all that's in this world is going away. You see, I'm happy because I know who God is and I know what He's doing. But notice also, I'm happy because God executes judgment. Verse number 7, which executes the judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looses the prisoners. He remembers those who are oppressed, those who are hungry, and those who are prisoners. And one day, justice is going to be served. Now, that's one of the things that kind of keeps us going. In the face of, you know, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine the vain thing? One of the things that keeps us going is that we know that one day justice is going to be served. That one day justice is going to reign. And that one day righteousness and justice will cover the earth because Jesus will reign. And so I'm happy because I'm looking beyond and recognizing and trusting in who God is. Next, we see praise Him because of His resourcefulness. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked He turneth upside down. What does He do? He's resourceful. And so if there's one that's blind, the blind man's eyes can be opened. And if the troubles and trials of life are causing my heart to be bowed down, trust in the Lord, I can be raised up. He loveth those that are righteous. Preserves the strangers. You know, this just comes to my mind. I mentioned that family in Haiti, that two men, two husbands, two dads with young children lost their lives. And you think, what's going to happen? God's going to take care of those families. He's going to He relieves the fatherless and the widow. He was there for them. He will be there for them through their times of difficulty. You see, the Lord is resourceful. And there's coming a time when He's going to turn the wicked upside down. Again, now men may be shaking their finger in the face of God, but there's coming a time when God is going to, and the wicked are going to be put away. You're happy because you know He is resourceful. So no matter the circumstance you're facing in life, you can praise Him because you know He has the ability and He has the desire and He's going to work in your life according to His will. And so if you'll just trust in Him and walk with Him, His resources are there for you to guide you in His ways everlasting. Finally, praise Him because of His, what I have here, eternality. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion. Unto all generations, praise you, the Lord. Of course, the psalmist here uses the word Jehovah. That word meant so much to the children of Israel. Yahweh! The word that they would not mention, that they wouldn't spell, they wouldn't put the vowels in it. That's how it becomes Yahweh. Because they honored that name so much. It is the self-existent one. That's something for us to remember about God. He's self-existent, which means He needs nothing to exist. He didn't come from someone. He doesn't draw strength or energy from something. He just is. David understood that. The psalmist understood that. I misspoke there. David's not the psalmist here. But the psalmist understands God is self-existent. And in his self-existence, he made that covenant. And that covenant was so impactful to the children of Israel. So but he's going to praise God because he is self-existent. And there's so many things we could talk about when you think about the self-existence of God. He never loses strength. He never loses consciousness or attention. He never needs to find new resources. And I always love to hear this. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He doesn't have to think through a situation. He's always known. Everything about him is self-existent. He has always had it from the beginning. And that's so impactful. No one's going to steal his resources. No one can diminish him. He is God. Notice, even thy God. Did it ever occur to you that the God who spoke this world into existence is your God? Did you ever think about what that means? That the God of creation is your God? The God that delivered David from the hand of Goliath is your God. The God that parted the Red Sea is your God. The God that raised up Lazarus from the dead is your God. The God that raised up Jesus from the dead is your God. The God that sits on his throne forever and ever is your God, and he loves you. And the psalmist is saying, I'm going to praise him because he's self-existent and he's my God. There come a time in my life when I recognize the fact that Jesus loves me. He may love the whole world, but he loves me. He's my God. O Zion, unto all generations. You see, the Lord shall reign, even thy God, that is there, even Elohim, Jehovah, Elohim. So Elohim and Jehovah, they're one God. Remember, Elohim there is plural. Elohim is plural. So when he said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, that is Elohim. It's a plural word. And so it lets you know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can't take the time to get into that right now. But this is what the psalmist is thinking. The Creator God, the covenant-keeping God, he's my God unto all generations. Generations means there a revelation, a revolution of time, an age, or generation. Unto all the generations that come. When the generations of man come and go, who stood before the generations of man came? Elohim. Who's going to be standing when the ages of men are over? Elohim. God is before, the Alpha, and he's after, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Understanding who God is, and he concludes it with Hallel Yah. Hallelujah! That's what he's saying. Praise ye the Lord. We have many reasons to praise God, and the psalmist here is sharing some of them, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you, for you to think about the reasons that you have to praise God, praise the Lord throughout your week, because he is your God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that for who you are, and that you included me, and that you loved me. And there's your working in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I pray my heart will be satisfied in thee. Thank you for the truths we find in your word. In the name of your Son.
Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.